When God speaks to us, how does God speak? How often does this God use people that we know? Maybe pastors, missionaries, or just friends, to communicate into our lives? Does God have a track record of communicating to men and women, and then encouraging those same men and women to pass on that communication to others? Well, these are the kinds of questions that today's podcast is concerned with. Our topic is prophecy, although we're not going to spend much time today talking about the ancient prophets, the Old and New Testament prophets. I'm actually much more interested in today's episode of exploring what prophecy looks like today and what it would look like for us. Let me read something to you. Quote, "Holy anger may frighten rebellious leaders into repentance, but the majority of people to whom New Testament prophets minister are weak and immature believers, not rebellious people or corrupt leaders. The real prophetic gift is not simply being able to see what's wrong with people, but seeing how to build them up. It does not take much of a gift to make people feel guilty, but imparting grace and mercy requires a highly developed prophetic gift. This gift fills both the hearer and the prophet with divine joy and faith." End quote. Now, what I've just recited for you is from a small book that I picked up recently called The Beginner's Guide to the Gift of Prophecy. The original edition is from 2001. It was then updated in 2008. It's written by a pastor and former professor named Jack Deere. So today's show, like I mentioned, is all about prophecy and the prophetic, which I understand may not be super familiar territory for everyone listening. So as part of this episode, I want to be sure and make the distinction of what prophecy is. Essentially, it's the potential power that God gives each of us as Christians to encourage one another, to speak needed truth into one another's lives, but in a supernatural way. And I come at this topic with the belief that more Jesus followers have this ability inside of them than are knowingly practicing it. Because outside of a heavily charismatic church structure, so few of us have had consistent, grounded experience with the prophetic life. And that's why I call this a potential power that God gives us. It's a power that is specifically designed for us to be a help to each other, but we don't always realize the power that we have. If we were to conduct a poll of a wide cross-section of Christian believers and ask something like, you know, what is the most important spiritual question that you live with day to day? Well, you're going to get a lot of answers to that. One of those answers would undoubtedly have to be, assuming there is a God, there is a divine presence, there is this benevolent, deeply loving, all-powerful, conscious force that has created and shaped the universe in which we inhabit. We're sort of taking that as read. But then how does that divine being communicate with us? When we ask this being a question or express a concern, does it answer? How does it answer? Will it answer? Can it choose not to answer? Don't so many of our questions about God and God's nature really circle back to this? How reliable is God? Does God have any real interest in me? Now, for some of you listening, you may have encountered these kinds of questions out of a sense of deep loss or pain or disillusionment. There may have been a uniquely painful episode, or perhaps multiple episodes, at various times in your life where you then began to question God. You certainly might have questioned if God was real, but I think the more interesting question that comes from times of crisis and doubt in our faith life is not, is God real, but does God care? Is God personally invested in us? Does this God see the things that are happening on earth? Recent attacks in I mean, name a place in the world, right? Racial injustices, police shootings, attacks on police. Yes, emphatically yes. We want to know this. Does God see these things? But also the good things. Does God see and notice those? Does God really know and care about our aspirations in life? Are there ways in which that divine voice or force is speaking into us and through us and through others? And these are all big questions, far bigger than today's episode could possibly knock out and tackle all in one go. But Deere's take, and my take as well, the take of a lot of very smart and spiritually aware theologians, is that yes, in fact, God is very attentive to our current situation. God cares deeply for what is happening, big and small scale, to us. So, God will sometimes choose to speak into those situations, to communicate directly to men and women through, drumroll, other men and women. When God speaks to one person with the intent of passing that message along to someone else, that is called prophetic prophecy. So the agenda for today is pretty simple. I'm going to use Deere's book as a conversation starter, a springboard into our conversation on God's communication with people. And I'll sprinkle a few quotations from his book here and there and expound on some of those ideas. Prophecy is one of what we call the spiritual gifts or spiritual giftings. But I'm going to assert today that prophecy isn't just future telling. Telling someone what's going to happen, which I think that's exactly how it's imagined in popular culture and popular imagination, even in church. But in fact, it's often not foretelling or future telling. Prophecy actually has quite a bit of overlap with what we would just call encouragement. The building up of others. Prophecy is present in those difficult conversations that we have with one another, where, for example, we see a friend or a loved one heading down an unhealthy or maybe morally dubious path. And what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of good, just, healthy, God's presence that comes to live in us when we decide to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit is there to help us with these conversations. It's what we tap into when we have those kinds of conversations. It often draws from this well of prophecy that dwells in you. When a friend or acquaintance runs into the speed bumps of life, small or catastrophic, the Holy Spirit may choose to speak into our heart with the intent of spreading that encouragement to our friend. You get the idea. The book I'm riffing on today, to quickly remind you, is called The Beginner's Guide to the Gift of Prophecy by Jack Deere. Jack Deere has previously served both as a senior pastor and as a professor of Old Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, I didn't really know much at all about Mr. Deere prior to picking up this book, and I'll be forthcoming in saying that he's not normally the type of Christian slash evangelical author that I would seek out, just being honest there. The main reason for that being I don't tend to gravitate too heavily towards Pentecostal or evangelical charismatic movements or theology or writings. That's just a personal bent, but usually if I'm looking to delve into writings on spiritual disciplines or spiritual exercises, spiritual giftings, contemplative prayer, I'll gravitate more towards the Catholic writers, a Trappist monastic tradition like Thomas Merton offers. Or back to the early church fathers, the Benedictines and Jesuits, who have plenty of insights towards that end. And those are just my personal tastes. But overall, I found the book to be incredibly grounded, written from a spirit of humility and genuinely a helpful guide. Especially for those of us that may have limited experience in our spiritual journeys with the prophetic voice. I found the material in this book to be very helpful. It does have some shortcomings. I think, for example, that Deere's definition of prophecy is maybe a bit too limited when I compare it with my own understanding of the range of prophetic giftings. Also, the book cover design makes it look like one of those vaguely inspirational and theologically atrocious books on prayer or something that you pick up at a Flying J truck stop. That's hardly the author's fault, but in any case, the material in this book is right at the level that I wanted us to be speaking about today. Maybe I'll just rip the cover off the book to soothe my discomfort at having it in my library. Okay. One of the aspects that sets Deere's story of ministry apart as unique is that he was once a cessationist. And by the way, I should probably have trigger warnings when I'm about to use Christianese or theological terms, so very sorry for that oversight. But I say he used to be a cessationist. Okay, so what is that? What means that he believed and taught at one time in his career that prophecies, supernatural healings, and speaking in tongues, these things ended with the 12 apostles. And that's not a particularly uncommon view. Even the ancient Jewish traditions had come to believe that after the temple had been destroyed in 70 CE or 70 AD, that the prophetic voice was essentially dead. People no longer did prophecy. This is something that came about in a period of history, and now that thing is done. So Deere used to believe that. But at a certain point in his life, Deere apparently changed his mind on this. Did a full 180 and actually came to embrace things like prophecies and supernatural healings in the modern day. So now he would say that these things still happen, and in fact began to heavily promote that idea. And so over the years, he's been involved with various charismatic movements. Some of these were or are fairly controversial, and a lot of them I don't really know all that much about. Anyhow, I'm not really intending to evaluate Jack Deere's entire theology or career in this podcast. And my review of his book isn't meant as an endorsement of his entire theology or career. So if you pick up the book and you're like, wow, I can't believe that Steve promoted this book or agreed with it, I may not. It's mainly the things that we're talking about today that I agree with. But all that said, I think the book is an incredible resource if you suspect that maybe you have a gifting in prophecy or it's just something that you want to learn about. I think his book is an excellent introductory text. Okay. I alluded earlier to the various means and methods through which God has communicated with men and women in the past. So one really helpful thing that Deere does in his text is briefly sketch out other ways besides person-to-person prophecies through which God has communicated. And he lists things like you might hear an audible voice speaking to your mind or heart. There's knowledge that might be imparted to you supernaturally through dreams and visions. God might be speaking to you through the natural events or natural settings. There might be physical symptoms in your own body that God speaks to you through. And all of this, I feel like this topic alone could be the subject of a different episode. All of the various ways and means through which God might be speaking to us. But let's just say for now that God could choose to speak through any number of methods and means like we've listed above. Even when the resulting message isn't exactly or actually intended for us at all, it might be intended for someone else. So far we've been speaking pretty abstractly. Let me give a couple first-hand examples. And if none of this is making sense to you, hopefully these examples will help. Okay. There have been times where I have entered into quiet prayer. For the purpose of hearing God's voice in order to give someone else encouragement. Now, that is a pretty loose goal. And with God, it has to be. When we choose to enter into God's presence, our spirit wants nothing more than to yield to God's voice. Which means that we give up any illusions of setting the agenda. So I've gone into times of contemplative or silent prayer for the purpose of blessing someone else with a word of encouragement. And more times than not, something else happens. God might have something that needs to be dealt with in my own heart, my own life, and so our time together, myself and God, becomes more about that. Sometimes nothing happens. When I say nothing, seemingly nothing. It becomes a time instead of just simple communion. Time spent with God with no other agenda than to just be with the divine presence. It's time well spent. And then there are other times I've sat down in prayer with the same intention, and there has been a voice, an impression in my mind and in my spirit that will speak through the silence. Sometimes there are precise words that I then will write down word for word. Other times there might just be a vague sort of impression, an encouragement that God wants me to give someone else, but it's left kind of vague. And this is key. Often I won't understand the words or impressions that God is giving me to communicate to another person. Like, I actually can't figure out what this is supposed to mean. Well, it's not my job to understand it. It's my job to convey it, to pass it on. Those words simply aren't meant for me. Prophecy isn't something that you get to give somebody and then immediately afterwards ask them, "So what was that about? Tell me more about that." Well, you kind of have to give up that right. This is actually a divine communication between that person and God. And your only involvement is as the messenger. Now, about now, if not maybe 10 minutes ago, some of you are probably ready to turn this podcast off. Because what I'm describing to you sounds kind of fringe, kind of new agey, or just kind of ridiculous. And so I just want to say, look, I get it. I'm a skeptical person too. And this is a topic that I debated even putting a podcast out about. I know that some of what I'm describing to you sounds pretty out there. And one of the reasons why this episode is out so late compared to my normal schedule is that I've wanted to just shelve this topic, or even just not do it at all. Because at a certain point in my life, I know how I would have reacted to something like this. My encouragement to you, though, is that prophecy is real. And my prayer for you as I am recording this is that you would have opportunities to hear from the voice of God in this way. And that you yourself might even have the opportunity, if you haven't already, to be a conduit of good words. Words of peace, or challenge, or encouragement. That you would have the opportunity to give those words to someone else as God allows. And that those words will come from a place of supernatural empowerment from the Holy Spirit. I pray that for you. I pray that for you as my listener. But I do get it, and this episode may not resonate with you fully today. And you know what? I'm actually okay with that. I know that I would rather put this knowledge out there for you and let you marinate in it and with it and chew on it and turn it over in your spirit. And it may not make any sense today, but 5 years from now or a week from now, it might. Okay, another example. Try to put some legs onto this. I was doing mission work several years ago. We were in Thailand, and we had a time of prayer over the Thai missionary students that we were training at this missionary base. So what we did is we did a laying on of hands. And this is essentially what this is we made physical contact with the students we were praying for. I would lay my hand upon the shoulder of one of the students. And we would then ask God to bless those students. Sounds straightforward enough, right? So as we're doing this, we're laying our hands upon them and we're praying over them, there was a series of events that began to transpire. First, I can feel something happening, sort of like between my heart and my stomach. And that area of my physical self began to get really warm. And I was flooded with this sense of calm and well-being. which, okay, talk about sounding New Agey, right? I saw their aura. Not really what I'm talking about here. I know this sounds maybe kind of sideways or suspicious to you, if you've never had an experience like this. But let me reassure you here, before we go forward, this is actually what I was feeling in that moment. It was almost exactly what is described at the end of Luke. And this would be chapter 24, about verse 32. Luke 24:32. In this scene, what's happening is Jesus appears after his resurrection, okay, to a couple of men. And he begins to talk with these men and walk along the beach with them. He begins to explain the meaning of his resurrection to them. And at one certain point, they recognize him and he disappears. Which by itself as a scene is pretty spectacular. But here's what they say after Jesus is done speaking with them and they recognize him. Quote, they said to each other, were not our hearts within us while he was talking to us on the road burning, while he was opening the scriptures to us? End quote. So my heart is burning, like these men described. And then, this is the next thing that happened, is that feeling, that warmth, travels through me, through my arm, through my hand, into this student whom I'm now touching and praying over. And I'm able to watch as he then physically reacts to this happening. So clearly, he's feeling this power enter his body. So we're both fully aware in this moment of this supernatural power that has entered him. But did this student or I have any control over this power? Most definitely not. He doesn't know English, I don't know Thai. Our ability to even communicate about what is happening in the physical realm is pretty limited. But it passed through us. It encouraged us. The Holy Spirit of God in that moment moved from one person to another. And in that moment, this student and I were both caught unexpected. We didn't know that was about to happen. Praying for one another in a missionary context is just something you do. I think of Jesus explaining the way that the Spirit moves in John chapter 3. It's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming, you don't know where it's going, and you can't harness it, you can't control it, but it passes through you. It's exactly what it was. It's exactly what happened. I think of prophecy a lot like that exchange. It's something that God begins or communicates inside of one person, and then it gets transferred to another person for the purpose of encouraging them and helping them do good works, helping them through a difficult situation. It just so happens that this often happens verbally, but it doesn't have to be. It can be written. It can take other forms of encouragement, as it did that day in Thailand. Now, when a Christian assumes the role of a prophet, there is an incredible need for humility on their end. And if you've got some Christian experience behind you at this point in life, you probably have a story or two of someone, maybe a pastor, maybe a priest, a youth group leader, a friend, someone in your life that claimed to have a message for you from God. But that message, when it was delivered, didn't sit well with you. And it might have even unsettled you or felt kind of gross or just wrong. It felt more like an intrusion or an imposition as opposed to a blessing. Well, it's very easy to get carried away and start proclaiming things into other people's lives that are actually coming from our own selfish motivations. Maybe a desire to feel important, maybe a desire to feel used by God in a meaningful way, to feel important. It can even come from a seemingly good desire to serve our friend or someone we're ministering to, but when we cross the line into saying, I believe that perhaps God is telling you, dot, 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 whatever. See, that's a line we can only cross when we have abandoned ourselves to the Holy Spirit, when we've emptied ourselves of vain ambition. We have to empty ourselves of the need to be right, even of the need to understand the prophecy or the encouragement that we're giving to someone else. You know, there have been several times that I've been in prayer and God has given me a prophetic word for someone else that to me is largely nonsensical. Well, like we talked about, it's not my job or my privilege necessarily to understand it. It becomes my job to pass on that word and allow it to plant in that other person's soul. And let me read now a quick selection from Deer. Quote, prophets do not live in a tidy world. They move in realms where angels and demons cross paths, where the counterfeit and the real intermingle. Confusion and ambiguity are their frequent companions. A fleeting vision or a barely remembered dream may hold the key for someone's rescue. Of all the gifts, none seem to rest on such flimsy experiences as prophecy. No ministry is as difficult to learn. It is so much more art than science. It may also be the most valuable of all gifts. It is the only spiritual gift that the Apostle Paul singled out and urged the whole church to pursue. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 39. Be patient with yourself as you learn to understand the prophetic language of the Holy Spirit. Humble persistence is more important than intelligence in trying to discover what only God can reveal. Understanding is the reward for those who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5, verse 14. End quote. Hearing the voice of God is something best learned among other people who have a similar desire. It's really not something that a book can competently direct you to by itself, and nor is a podcast like this one to say the obvious. The best I can do, not knowing your individual experiences with this type of thing, is to provide this general overview and to point you towards Deer's book, which provides a more comprehensive overview. What we're really talking about is hearing the voice of God, allowing God to speak whatever into our hearts and into our lives. And this includes the possibility that God might wish to speak through us to another person. And now we're bringing other people into the equation. I'm sure it's apparent how easily this whole thing could be abused. Hence the example I gave earlier when I asked you to recall a time that someone gave you a word and it just fell off. But even when our desires are pure, even when we're willing to be used of God in this way, operating in the prophetic is something that takes lots of time and a growing, deepening sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Another quote from Deer. Quote, no prophetic word can be judged until it is spoken. But we are such perfectionists. When we were little children, adults told us, anything worth doing is worth doing right. Well, they meant well, but they should have told us that we would never do it right without first doing it poorly. End quote. Which I just find to be great life advice. Anyway, this is another reason why the prophetic voice is best learned and developed in community, preferably alongside at least one or two individuals that have cultivated and sought after this kind of insight in their own ministries. So let's say that someone in a faith context comes to you and says, God has given me a word for you, podcast listener. Well, what do we do with that? One of the most important things is that you take time to test it. To test it. How did it feel to receive what they had to say to you? Did it feel right and true and from a place of truth and encouragement? Or did it feel heavy or intrusive or just didn't really resonate with anything inside of you? Whoever is giving you this message should then give you space to turn over this message in your spirit after the fact. There shouldn't be any pressure for you to respond to or react to that message. A true prophet understands that any message they deliver needs to be tested out and lived with for a space of time. By the way, there also shouldn't be any obvious benefit to the person speaking to you for you to accept what they're saying. You know, God told you to go into business with me and to give me an 80-20 share. I might be a little suspicious of that prophecy. God told me that you should break up with that person you're dating when you know that they also have an interest in that person you're dating. You know, things like that. There shouldn't be an obvious benefit to the person giving you that word. And finally, what you're being told should line up with what you know of God's character. It shouldn't lead you towards something obviously immoral, in other words. I'll conclude today's podcast just by saying that I'm tempted at times to think that it's a shame that these spiritual gifts, like prophecy, are sometimes kind of viewed as a fringe thing in the church. Though these kinds of things usually do find themselves on the fringes of Christian and Jewish tradition. If you go back through history to the early church and even before that. So, you know, maybe it's not actually a shame at all. But it's actually where things like prophecy and deep contemplative prayer actually belong, on the fringes. Because then it makes us have to work to understand them and to operate within them. We have to seek them out. For many of us, we want to experience God in deeper and unique ways that our larger Christian culture has not been able to provide for us. We are hungering for those fringe voices to breathe new life into essential and eternal truths. And who doesn't want an encounter with the divine voice? The voice of the God of all things, who is willing to speak into our lives by using other imperfect people like ourselves to encourage us and to lift us up into deeper wisdom and relationship. I think we all want that. Prophecy is one of the ways that it happens. Yeah, until next time, grace and peace to you all. We will talk again soon.